The devil tells us it's over. The devil tells us it's over. But God says, I'm just starting. The devil tells you, you don't have enough. God says, you have just enough to get it done. The devil tells you, your season will never. The devil tells you, your season will never. God has never left you. And I really hope that we can do our next few songs. But in this moment, I want you to. God has never left you. And I really hope that we can do our next few songs. But in this moment, I want you to. Because many of you brought him with you. We simply say hallelujah to the King of Kings. You won the victory for us. Set us free. So we worship you. We love on you. Sing this with me all over the building. It just simply says, hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won it all for me. Death could not hold you down. You I want you to sing it all over the building again. Just say it real sweet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won it all for me.
Death could
seated in majesty. You are the risen King.
Lift your voice and say it. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You have won. You have won.
Could not hold you down. Death could not hold you.
I just felt this. I need you to turn to someone real quick. The power of God is going to hit this room. It's going to, a sweep is coming. I need you to turn to someone, whether it's your husband, your friend, or whomever it is. I need you to grab them by both of their hands, and I need you to pray right now in the spirit. Don't miss the move. Move quickly in the spirit. Pray for your neighbor. Come on. Find them. Grab their hands and pray for them. They're going to pray for you. You pray for them. Come on. Victory, victory, victory for everybody. Open your mouth and declare victory over them. Let the presence of the Lord move in this place. Come on, people of God. You're shifting, you're shifting. You're shifting, you're shifting. That time, you're shifting. Take the glory. Take the glory. Take the glory. Hallelujah. Death couldn't hold Christ down. And death can't hold us down. Hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's shift it in here. You have won the victory. We're going to another level. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You won it all for me, Jesus. Oh. Death cannot hold us down. Death could not hold. Give me you. I hope I'm not. God, give me you. hope I'm not. Give me you. Lord, give me you. Sing, ladies.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
If you
want, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
If you
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
If you will just keep your heart open and just say, give me you.
Give me you. Everything else can wait.
Put everything else on the back burner and say, God,
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
One more time. The devil said this is over, but no.
Give me you.
Everything will wait.
Everything else can wait.
One more time. The devil said this is over, but no.
Give me you.
Everything will wait.
Everything else can wait.
And it's your turn now.
Give me you.
Hope I'm not too late.
Hope I'm not too late.
God, give me you.
Lord,
give me you.
Lord, give me you.
And now it's me.
It's me.
Oh, Lord. It's me, oh God.
It's me, oh Lord.
On my knees.
I'm on my knees.
So give me you.
Bless me now, my Savior. I come.
Bless me now.
Bless me now.
Bless me now.
Bless me now.
Bless me now. Savior, I come to thee. I come. Jesus says, no one we want more than you. God, we know this, that religion can't keep us with addictions. The Spirit of the Lord is here to deliver you from your addictions. And a lot of you don't with addictions. The Spirit of the Lord is here to deliver you from your addictions. And a lot of you don't know that you receive. So if you're struggling with an addiction in your life, no matter what it would be, I just want you to raise your hand up right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the anointing that is here to set the captives free. God, I break and take authority over the spirit of nicotine, over addictions to alcohol, over drugs, prescription, and street. Lord, over pornography. Father, even over other people. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit and I command it to loose the people. Get ready. Now. Come off them, Father.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, and everybody receiving it said, amen. You see, this is all about knowing him and who he is. And when you come to that place, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. There's no greater place to be. Amen. Can we sing that one more time? Can you sing it to the Father? Can you let him know?
I need
come on, sing it to the Father. Oh, I need thee. Jesus, bless me now, my Savior.
One more
I need thee.
Bless
me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Jesus, we love you. Thank you. We declare our need for you. We declare that we are nothing without you. God, we declare that you are infinite and we are finite. And that, God, you are eternal. Lord, today we declare our need for you in our lives and we submit. God, even those portions that we struggle with, we submit them to you and say, Jesus, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, every minute, every second, God, our life is in you. For in you we live and move and have our being. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, how many of you love Jesus in the house? Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you say hello to five people. Don't sit down. Go find five people you do not know. Shake their hand and say, good morning. I need God.
I need thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
It's me. Working. Give me you. Give me you. I don't want it. Give me you. It's me, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord.
I'm on my knees.
Crying out to you. Why?
Begin?
Yes.
Hey. Yes, sir.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Hey, HD family, we have our annual church picnic coming up. It's going to be June 5th. We're going to be meeting again at Harris Hill Youth Camp. We want to make sure that you bring a large dish to pass, as well as bring some drinks and bring games as well. We want to make sure that we are coming together as a family. Make sure that you're there to enjoy the family and fellowship and fun. See you there.
It's me again, family. I'm excited to tell you about Uproar Conference this year. We've already had hundreds of people register online and had amazing opportunities to show and share what Jesus is going to do this summer. We're seeing if you'd be willing to partner with Conference this year. We found it costs about $50 per student. And we are so excited. Imagine if you just one day, what you spend on Duncan, you go ahead and invest into a student so their life can be changed forever. So we're excited to partner with you. We can see you out in the foyer, or you can place something right in the offering today. We are so pumped that you can make an impact in this generation.
Praise the Lord.
First off, I want to invite you to HT Softball. We're doing all right this year. But second, we're excited about Father's Day, June 19th. We have an amazing Sunday planned. First off, we have church, bring your jersey, bring your dad. And then after, bring your kids, bring your family to the Pioneers. You can get a free ticket for the game at 6 p.m. right at the Hub. Come as a family. We're excited about this time to celebrate Father.
You don't have to wait till 6 p.m. to get your free ticket. They're there all the time. But at 6 p.m., you don't want to miss that. We've been doing and participating with Father's Day down with the Pioneers, I believe, for 4 or 5 years. So it's very important. But next week is the family picnic. Pastor Dan did that one already first. How many of you are coming to the family picnic? It's a lot of fun. And you can come, enjoy yourselves, and thank you, honey. Thank you pretty much. Appreciate that. Thank you. And so we want to make sure that you're there. This is Memorial Day weekend. You can look around. You can see we're a little thin today, but that's all right. We want to bless you. I rode my bicycle to church this morning, and I had a lot of people pass me and without stickers on their car. And so we want to give away 10 His Tabernacle Family Church stickers. If you would like one, if you want to come get it, you're more than welcome. I'm not coming to you. If you'd like a sticker, come and grab it. They go on the outside of your car. You don't have a car. Oh, your dad does. There you go.
You need to? Amy's behind me. Young man.
I got one left. Whoop. Mr. Ship, how are you? Oh, yeah, we'll get one for you. Carla will grab one for you. Hallelujah. We want to thank God. Yesterday we did the motorcycle blessing. There were 193 participants. Isn't that exciting? 193 people. What was really interesting is how many of them watch His Word TV. It's very interesting to me how many people come up to me after and said, Pastor, I watch you every Sunday morning. No one said 7:30. They all said 8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, they're watching His Word TV. We're trying to get them into the house. Can I hear an amen? Love to have them come. Now, how many folks have come because of the television ministry? Are there anybody? Oh, look at folks back there, sir. Very good. Over on this side, very good. Can we give all those that came because of the television ministry? Thank the Lord. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, we're not going to make you stand or anything, nothing strange. But we have a gift for you. So if you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, if you'll raise your hand, we want to bless you with a gift. Tea, Earl Grey, I don't know, tea. Earl Grey, I don't know. Want to welcome all of those that are watching by live stream. Amen. So God's been good. And boy, I don't know about you. I'm excited about today. Some of you have already heard. My wife is preaching the message today. It's going to be a humdinger. It's a humdinger message. Hallelujah. You know, we fight not against flesh and blood. And a lot of people just do not understand. A humdinger. It's a humdinger message. Hallelujah. You know, we fight not against flesh and blood, and a lot of people just do not understand, not happy about you growing and knowing Jesus. So a lot of folks, when we don't get this, what we do is we get engaged by the enemy's plot. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Satan does not want you going to heaven, fulfilling God's will. The devil does not want you using your talents for God's kingdom. Can I hear an amen? How many of you gave your talent sheet last week, the Get Connected cards? I want to remind you to make sure you do that. We want to get you involved in ministry at this church. Don't just come and sit, but get involved. It changes your life. Today, I just want to say thank you so much for being amazing givers. On Monday, we have two parades that we're in. We're in the Elmira Parade, and we're in the Horseheads Parade. If you notice, the bus just got re-lettered. It looks amazing, doesn't it? If you get a chance, look at the bus out back. Gorgeous. So the bus will be going before us, his tabernacle, and we'll be able to, we have dancer ministries. We have my wife and I love going in the parades, and there's a bunch of other folks that are coming just to say hello to our community and let them know that we are here. And that, you know, I believe the church should go after the world, not the world go after the church. Jesus came to seek and to save them which are lost, not sit and save. You know, it's time to go after people. Let them know that God is good and not bad. Today, I just want to say, as we're getting ready to receive the offering, I was up early this morning, and after I got done prayer, I went down and emptied the garbage because my wife told me it was full. Did the garbage, and then I saw that we had the kiddie pool. We bought kiddie pools last year, and Sophia and the family come over after church. And so I looked at the kiddie pool and I said, you know what? It'd be really cool that when she gets done church, she can come to the house, we'll eat lunch, and then she can jump in the kiddie pool. So I'm out back and I'm filling the kiddie pool with a hose. You ever notice that when you're using the hose, you got to go to the bathroom? She gave me that urge. Jesus, help it all. So I'm filling the kiddie pool. And I said, you know, this is going to be so cool because after service, that's 6 hours away, she's going to be able to come back and get in that pool. And the Lord said, that's what I do for my kids. Before you even know you're ever going to be blessed, I'm preparing it ahead of time. Isn't that cool? I said, God, I like that. He said, she doesn't even know she's going to have that kiddie pool after service, but I know. And you know, and God is going to bless you the same way. See, this is where we learn how to be faithful in God's kingdom. Because in the faithfulness that we have for the Lord with our tithe and our offerings, it's not paying God off. What it is positioning ourselves. And you see, she's positioned herself because I'm her granddad. And I just want to see my baby girl, my first grandchild. I want to see her play in that little thing. And I got it out there so it could warm up. So when she gets back, it's going to be nice and warm. And you know, God takes care of you. He loves you. And he wants to bless you, not curse you. And so I just want you to know today, position yourself. Position yourself to be blessed. Position yourselves with your tithe and your offering and your faithfulness to God. It's not about amounts in the, well, some people tithe more, some people, listen, it's about obeying. When you obey God, you're always positioned for blessing. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. If you're our guest this morning, what we do is we bring our offerings to the Lord. And if you're watching by live stream right now, you can jump off and you can see that little spot that says giving. Hit that button. To give. If you're watching, if you're eating from this house, the tithe and offerings belong to the storehouse you're going to. So make sure that you're giving this morning. Are you ready to give? I said, are you ready to give? Then shout it out loud with me. If I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They trip me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, oh.
the Spirit.
How does it happen? You see, that one gets planted. So this tree, if it actually got planted, and this is what we do, we get planted, right? So easy. You see, we determine, we're the ones that can't be tripped up by the big things. You know, you're not going to fall for those big sins. The devil has to be really crafty. Can't be tripped up by the big things. You know, you're not going to fall for those big sins. The devil has to be really crafty. Can't be tripped up by the big things. You know, you're not going to fall for those big sins. The devil has to be really crafty. Can't be tripped up by the big things. You know, you're not going to fall for those big sins. The devil has to be really crafty. Can't be tripped up by the big things. You know, you're not going to fall for those big sins. The devil has to be really crafty. Can't be tripped up by the big things. You know, you're not going to fall for those big sins. The devil has to be really crafty. Can't be tripped up by the big things. You know, you're not going to fall for those big sins. The devil has to be really crafty. So we come to church week after week, and in our mind, we come to worship God. But something very different ends up happening. We come to church, but something very different ends up happening. We come to church so busy being offended that we don't actually worship God at all, or learn, or grow, and we can't even hear from God. We're too busy being offended. Now, we think we are coming to church. We think we do because we're present. A ploy. The enemy of your soul knows human nature so well. He doesn't even care if you go to church because he knows he can stop you from worshiping God. He can stop you from that hundredfold harvest return, and that you will take no root as long as offense is allowed in. I want to read Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those when they heard the word, at once received it and accepted it and welcomed it with joy, but they had no real root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. This right here is how it happens. Offense comes in, and that description is displeased. Have you ever felt that in the house of God? Indignant, resentful, and you will stumble and fall away. You see, we judge ourselves based on our intentions, and our intentions are good. We're here. We're in the house of God. We intend to come to church and worship, but then 10 years down the road goes by, and we've never really come and worshiped God. Maybe it looks something like this. Now, I'm afraid to even put on names, so y'all need to be strong, because the spirit of offense, if it's in the house, somebody's going to be offended because I use their name. So I had volunteers that were strong this morning speak up. So, all right, thank you, Alan. I'll use your name for the first one. So Alan comes in to sit in his seat that he sits in every single week, and somebody's already sitting in his seat. Oh. The enemy of your soul knows human nature so well. He doesn't even care if you go to church because he knows he can stop you from worshiping God. He can stop you from that hundredfold harvest return, and that you will take no root as long as offense is allowed in. I want to read Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. And in the same way, The ones sown upon stony ground are those when they heard the word, at once received it and accepted it and welcomed it with joy, but they had no real root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. This right here is how it happens. Offense comes in, and that description is displeased. Have you ever felt that in the house of God? Indignant, resentful, and you will stumble and fall away. You see, we judge ourselves based on our intentions, and our intentions are good. We're here. We're in the house of God. We intend to come to church and worship, but then 10 years down the road goes by, and we've never really come and worshiped God. Maybe it looks something like this. Now, I'm afraid to even put on names, so y'all need to be strong, because the spirit of offense, if it's in the house, somebody's going to be offended because I use their name. So I had volunteers that were strong this morning speak up. So, all right, thank you, Alan. I'll use your name for the first one. So Alan comes in to sit in his seat that he sits in every single week, and somebody's already sitting in his seat. Oh, going like that. I know. Maybe the. Did you hear what Pastor said? Oh. 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 I'll use the name Rumpelstiltskin, because I'm too afraid to put anybody's name on it, because I don't want to step on your toes. That Rumpelstiltskin, he's so two-faced, one way in church, but you just don't know how he acts when he's not in church. I can't crit goes. Oh, they're all hypocrites anyways. You see, so-and-so is just so mean-spirited. I don't even want to be around them. It might get on me. I know, you're all perfect. You never thought those things before. Oh my goodness, I can't believe she wore that to church. This is the house of God. I would never. And whose thinking is that even okay? Why doesn't somebody say something to her? I'm never going to sit here again. All they do is talk right out loud. How rude. I can't even concentrate. As a matter of fact, I can't sit over there. And I definitely can't sit behind those teenagers. Ugh, I can't sit anywhere. These people are just so disrespectful. I'll go find another church where it will be better. They're just so sinful and worldly there, and I don't want to be around it. Frankly, it might get on me. I know, you're all perfect. You never thought those things before. Oh my goodness, I can't believe she wore that to church. This is the house of God. I would never. And whose thinking is that even okay? Why doesn't somebody say something to her? I'm never going to sit here again. All they do is talk right out loud. How rude. I can't even concentrate. As a matter of fact, I can't sit over there. And I definitely can't sit behind those teenagers. Ugh, I can't sit anywhere. These people are just so disrespectful. I'll go find another church where it will be better. They're just so sinful and worldly there, and I don't want to be around it. Frankly, does this sound like some of your self-talk during your worship? As mature Christians, this is how he will take you out. As mature Christians, this is how he will take you out. As mature Christians, this is how he will take you out. As mature Christians, this is how he will take you out. It was what Mark 4 that we just, I'm going to bring forth fruit in its season. But in reality, the soil, and it can't take root in that place. And if we don't grow roots to be that tree, that's our theme for the year. That's our verse week to be that tree. That's our theme for the year. That's our verse week to be that tree. That's our theme for the year. That's our verse week to be that tree. That's our theme for the year. That's our verse week to be that tree. That's our theme for the year. That's our verse week to be that tree. That's our theme for the year. That's our verse week to be that tree. That's our theme for the year. That's our verse week inside the church. How about our workplaces? Oh, the opportunity for offense is so vast. We can give no place to offense in our lives, but it's so, we can give no place to offense in our lives, but it's so, we can give no place to offense in our lives, but it's so, we can give no place to offense in our lives, but it's so, start with the physical stuff that offense does. Offense causes hurt intention, which can literally cause sickness. This is what it does to our spiritual body. Is this not the carpenter that without there? They were unable to work in your life. Stumble and fall away. Offense will cause you to stumble and fall funded and repelled and begin to, oh, my hands are dirty. Okay, yeah, we just licked that dirt. Distrust and desert him. Oh, thank you. I'm so happy for parents who carry baby wipes. All right, I got to back up because I want you to hear this. And many of them will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him who they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. One another with hatred. The enemy of our soul is on task 24/7. He doesn't rest on his job to one another with hatred. The enemy of our soul is on task 24/7. He doesn't rest on his job to new offense to come in. This is the very seed that the enemy is sowing into your dreams like such a little thing. But this little thing can be so destructive. Offense is a seed that you are sowing into your life. And the word of God says, be not deceived. What you sow, you will reap. It is a seed that you will reap a harvest from. And we just read what that harvest is. No power, stumbling, falling away, no roots inside of us. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, a little fly in the ointment putrefies the whole. What you sow, you will reap. It is a seed that you will reap a harvest from. And we just read what that harvest is. No power, stumbling, falling away, no roots inside of us. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, a little fly in the ointment putrefies the whole. What you sow, you will reap. It is a seed that you will reap a harvest from. And we just read what that harvest is. No power, stumbling, falling away, no roots inside of us. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, a little fly in the ointment putrefies the whole. What you sow, you will reap. It is a seed that you will reap a harvest from. And we just read what that harvest is. No power, stumbling, falling away, no roots inside of us. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, a little fly in the ointment putrefies the whole. What you sow, you will reap. It is a seed that you will reap a harvest from. And we just read what that harvest is. No power, stumbling, falling away, no roots inside of us. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, a little fly in the ointment putrefies the whole. What you sow, you will reap. It is a seed that you will reap a harvest from. And we just read what that harvest is. No power, stumbling, falling away, no roots inside of us. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, a little fly in the ointment putrefies the whole. To a suffered wrong. And I've shared this. Someone came to me and said, man, I just didn't know that the kingdom of God was so elite. It was so many boundaries and so difficult. And you know my response, 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 Matthew 7:13-14, enemy of your soul, we 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 enemy joining principality forces. Galatians 5:13-17 says, for you the very thing that we desire to do. Now sometimes offense can actually be condemnation. East is to the west. The Holy Spirit pointing out something that you have not yet repented from or changed that needs to be removed from our lives. Sometimes we get offended at God when we feel conviction. And sometimes we get offended at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase. I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop, and you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge, to declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty, but God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us, with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he was my spirit pointing out something that you have not yet repented from or changed that needs to be removed from our lives. Sometimes we get offended at God when we feel conviction. And sometimes we get offended at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Amen. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives,
but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge, to declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty, but God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he was Holy Spirit pointing out something that you have not yet repented from or changed that needs to be removed from our lives. Sometimes we get offended at God when we feel conviction. And sometimes we get offended at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Amen. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge. To declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty. But God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9. You will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us, with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he was Holy Spirit pointing out something that you have not yet repented from or changed that needs to be removed from our lives. Sometimes we get offended at God when we feel conviction. And sometimes we get offended at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase. I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge. To declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty, but God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he wounded at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase. I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop, and you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge, to declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty, but God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone." That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he wounded at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge. To declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty. But God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone." That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he wondered at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge. To declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty. But God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, You will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us, with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he wounded at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase. I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version, tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge. To declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty. But God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, Forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us, with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he wondered at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase. I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version, tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop, and you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge, to declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty, but God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us, with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he wondered at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge, to declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty, but God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he wounded at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge. To declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty. But God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9. You will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us, with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he wondered at God when we don't understand what he's doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you out of your situation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is how we end up in our eternity. We cannot get offended with God. He is the very help that we need. Offense seems to be so very little, but it stops the power of God from working in your life. Do not allow any offense in. Now I can hear you already. Well, what if the offense is valid? Right? I mean, that's a very good argument. I hear you. You cannot offend the dead. You can do pretty much anything to a dead person. You can cuss them out. You can say all manner of evil against them. You can do all manner of evil, and they're dead. They're not going to respond. I thought the Word of God says, it's no longer I that lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, let's take it a little further. I'll read some scriptures. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. He must increase. I must decrease. And then Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And my favorite one of all, Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version tells us to acquit. Forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Did you hear that word, acquit? Acquit means to relieve from a fault or a charge. To declare not guilty. See how opposite that is of the enemy's ways? Because he comes in to condemn and declare us, pronounce us guilty. But God's way says we are to acquit, to call them not guilty, and to let it go. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. For if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you while you were yet sinners. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9. You will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Pay no attention to a suffered wrong. So what if it's valid? We're not going to pay it any attention. We're going to acquit it and we're going to let it go. We're going to forgive just like God forgave us, with no strings attached. And then the best of all, John 8:7. When they kept questioning on him, they kept pressing, but it's valid, but it's valid. We caught this woman in adultery. She was caught red-handed. It's truth. I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be angry. I have every right. He straightened himself up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then you cast the first stone. That is how you handle offense. I'm not putting that back in. I'm not saying this today so we can feel beat up. You know, when God brought this to me, I didn't feel beat up. I was so grateful that he loved me and he cared enough about me to reveal how I was actually living as opposed to what I thought I was doing. I had no root inside of me. I was so grateful that he was today. Great peace and nothing shall offend you. But the condition is that we must love the law, the word of God, and would. He gave us the word so we didn't have to be offended. Plan to refuse offense. Whenever you have the opportunity, daily, every minute of the day, to be offended, make a decision to respond according to the love of God. And we read what that was. It acquits and it forgives according to the instructions of the scripture rather than how we have responded in the past. Now, I know we've had a mirror held up and we've seen a hard truth today, but please, please do not make excuses. Do not rationalize and do not try to justify. It is only hurting you. It is only further hardening the ground. That is all it's doing. So please today, don't make excuses. Don't rationalize. This is a reality. The alarm has been sounded. The spirit of offense is in the house. I guarantee you every single one of you can relate to at least one, and you could probably add 20 to my list. Please strive to not be offended ever. It will keep you in health, first of all. It will keep you in peace. It will keep you from bitterness, from walking away, and it will keep the power of God flowing in our lives. This is exactly what you need for today. It's not too much, and it's not too hard. It's too much, actually, to stay in offense, because that will cost you way too much, including everything you influence, even generations to come. Psalms 1:3, but he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is our 100-fold return from being planted in good ground, in actual good ground, and picking out the rocks that stunt your roots. The enemy's devices have been revealed today. So let's stay out of offense until the day of Jesus Christ, that nothing shall offend you. Tremendous power is available to you today. So you might be even this poor little tree that Pastor had several weeks ago. Literally, it didn't get planted. And then we were going to, and I intentionally didn't plant it for this message, the poor thing. It will be planted this afternoon so that it can live and not die. But we're planted. We're in the house week after week. We're mature Christians. Be aware, because the only way the enemy can get in, and you know this, to a strong, mature Christian is he's got this easy access button of offense. It is so easy. And I'm telling you, from 21 to however old this man was, is too long to allow offense to remain in your life. It's too long. Come on. God desires you to prosper in everything that you touch. God has planned for you 100-fold return, but it's in our hands. And it's our hands. We can get into a fence and stay in it, or we can get in that garden and start weeding out those rocks. And then we will have solid roots that will grow deep. And we will not be one of the elect that get deceived in the end. We will be strong and immovable. So today, we're going to deal with the offense that's there. And you know the awesome thing about God? Tremendous power is available. So today you may have come in. Where's my pathetic? You may have come in like this. Tremendous power is available to you. You can leave this place in a moment of God's presence, just like that man. Thank you, Jesus. Just like that man, after all those years, was able to leave like this, where roots can go strong and you can be immovable. God is that power. Tremendous power is available to you. Don't hold on to those offenses because you feel like it's too much, that you feel like this. Don't hold on to those things another day because you feel like, wow, I've gone too many years. There's no hope for me. Yes, there is. Tremendous power is available to you. You can have roots that grow down deep. Now, you're going to have to pay attention because even when you take all the stones out of a garden, if you've ever done a garden, we did a front yard one time. We picked stones to plant grass seed. Next day, there were stones all over again. We had to go out and pick stones. We swore they were growing. We were growing a rock garden. We must maintain and continue because it is one thing that's not ever going to go away. The enemy is on the job 24/7. And as long as we allow that in, he will be there planting seeds of offense that we will harvest. And that is not our intention. It's not because you're here. I know it's not your desire and it's not your intention. You're here in this place. And God's power is tremendously working right now in your life to get rid of all of those stones of offense that has been hindering your roots from growing down deep. Stand with me. Pastor, if you can play on the keyboards. I don't want anybody moving around. I know workers, you got to get in position, all that kind of stuff. Don't move around. Because this is for all of us. This is for me. This is God's message to me. I just want to take time right now. You can just bow your heads and close your eyes. This is you and Jesus. This is me and Jesus. And invite God in. In all those areas of offense that have kept us in stony ground, kept us from having roots that grow deep. Father God, right now your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, right now to saturate each person. And I know as I was speaking this message, you had offenses come up that you thought of as I was sharing. And even right now they're coming up. I want you to acquit. Just let it go. Nothing has to be done to deal with it. Just let it go. Just like Christ does, when you come to him, he lets it all go. And you're brand new. So whatever those things are right now, I want you to acquit and let it go. Forgive. And God's going to take those stones out and give you good ground. And you will have roots. Tremendous power is working right now. Tremendous power is working right now. Peace. Great peace. He is replacing that stony ground with great peace and nothing offending. Father God, right now we pray against the spirit of offense. We bind it up. We cancel its assignment. It's been running rampant too long in our lives. We cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. By the authority of the word of God, we cancel you, spirit of offense. You have no right and no place in the children of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm not making a call other than salvation, but right in your seats, because excuses. Do not rationalize and do not try to justify. It is only hurting you. It is only further hardening the ground. That is all it's doing. So please today, don't make excuses. Don't rationalize. This is a reality. The alarm has been sounded. The spirit of offense is in the house. I guarantee you every single one of you can relate to at least one, and you could probably add 20 to my list. Please strive to not be offended ever. It will keep you in health, first of all. It will keep you in peace. It will keep you from bitterness, from walking away, and it will keep the power of God flowing in our lives. This is exactly what you need for today. It's not too much, and it's not too hard. It's too much, actually, to stay in offense, because that will cost you way too much, including everything you influence, even generations to come. Psalms 1:3. But he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is our 100-fold return from being planted in good ground, in actual good ground, and picking out the rocks that stunt your roots. The enemy's devices have been revealed today. So let's stay out of offense until the day of Jesus Christ, that nothing shall offend you. Tremendous power is available to you today. So you might be even this poor little tree that Pastor had several weeks ago. Literally, it didn't get planted. And then we were going to, and I intentionally didn't plant it for this message, the poor thing. It will be planted this afternoon so that it can live and not die. But we're planted. We're in the house week after week. We're mature Christians. Be aware, because the only way the enemy can get in, and you know this, to a strong, mature Christian is he's got this easy access button of offense. It is so easy. And I'm telling you, from 21 to however old this man was, is too long to allow offense to remain in your life. It's too long. Come on. God desires you to prosper in everything that you touch. God has planned for you 100-fold return, but it's in our hands. And it's our hands. We can get into a fence and stay in it, or we can get in that garden and start weeding out those rocks. And then we will have solid roots that will grow deep. And we will not be one of the elect that get deceived. In the end, we will be strong and immovable. So today, we're going to deal with the offense that's there. And you know the awesome thing about God? Tremendous power is available. So today you may have come in. Where's my pathetic? You may have come in like this. Tremendous power is available to you. You can leave this place in a moment of God's presence, just like that man. Thank you, Jesus. Just like that man, after all those years, was able to leave like this, where roots can go strong and you can be immovable. God is that power. Tremendous power is available to you. Don't hold on to those offenses because you feel like it's too much, that you feel like this. Don't hold on to those things another day because you feel like, wow, I've gone too many years. There's no hope for me. Yes, there is. Tremendous power is available to you. You can have roots that grow down deep. Now, you're going to have to pay attention, because even when you take all the stones out of a garden, if you've ever done a garden, we did a front yard one time. We picked stones to plant grass seed. Next day, there were stones all over again. We had to go out and pick stones. We swore they were growing. We were growing a rock garden. We must maintain and continue, because it is one thing that's not ever going to go away. The enemy is on the job 24/7. And as long as we allow that in, he will be there planting seeds of offense that we will harvest. And that is not our intention. It's not because you're here. I know it's not your desire and it's not your intention. You're here in this place, And God's power is tremendously working right now in your life to get rid of all of those stones of offense that has been hindering your roots from growing down deep. Stand with me. Pastor, if you can play on the keyboards. I don't want anybody moving around. I know workers, you got to get in position, all that kind of stuff. Don't move around. Because this is for all of us. This is for me. This is God's message to me. I just want to take time right now. You can just bow your heads and close your eyes. This is you and Jesus. This is me and Jesus. And invite God in all those areas of offense that have kept us in stony ground, kept us from having roots that grow deep. Father God, right now you're anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage right now to saturate each person. And I know as I was speaking this message, you had offenses come up that you thought of as I was sharing. And even right now, they're coming up. I want you to acquit. Just let it go. Nothing has to be done to deal with it. Just let it go. Just like Christ does, when you come to him, he lets it all go. And you're brand new. So whatever those things are right now, I want you to acquit and let it go. Forgive. And God's going to take those stones out and give you good ground. And you will have roots. Tremendous power is working right now. Tremendous power is working right now. Peace. Great peace. He is replacing that stony ground with great peace and nothing offending. Father God, right now we pray against the spirit of offense. We bind it up. We cancel its assignment. It's been running rampant too long in our lives. We cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. By the authority of the word of God, we cancel you, spirit of offense. You have no right and no place in the children of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm not making a call other than salvation, but right in your seats, because do not rationalize and do not try to justify. It is only hurting you. It is only further hardening the ground. That is all it's doing. So please today, don't make excuses. Don't rationalize. This is a reality. The alarm has been sounded. The spirit of offense is in the house. I guarantee you every single one of you can relate to at least one, and you could probably add 20 to my list. Please strive to not be offended ever. It will keep you in health, first of all. It will keep you in peace. It will keep you from bitterness, from walking away, and it will keep the power of God flowing in our lives. This is exactly what you need for today. It's not too much, and it's not too hard. It's too much, actually, to stay in offense, because that will cost you way too much, including everything you influence, even generations to come. Psalms 1:3, but he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is our 100-fold return from being planted in good ground, in actual good ground, and picking out the rocks that stunt your roots. The enemy's devices have been revealed today. So let's stay out of offense until the day of Jesus Christ, that nothing shall offend you. Tremendous power is available to you today. So you might be even this poor little tree that Pastor had several weeks ago. Literally, it didn't get planted. And then we were going to, and I intentionally didn't plant it for this message, the poor thing. It will be planted this afternoon so that it can live and not die. But we're planted. We're in the house week after week. We're mature Christians. Be aware. Because the only way the enemy can get in, and you know this, to a strong, mature Christian is he's got this easy access button of offense. It is so easy. And I'm telling you, from 21 to however old this man was, is too long to allow offense to remain in your life. It's too long. Come on. God desires you to prosper in everything that you touch. God has planned for you 100-fold return, but it's in our hands. And it's our hands. We can get into a fence and stay in it, or we can get in that garden and start weeding out those rocks. And then we will have solid roots that will grow deep. And we will not be one of the elect that get deceived in the end. We will be strong and immovable. So today, we're going to deal with the offense that's there. And you know the awesome thing about God? Tremendous power is available. So today you may have come in. Where's my pathetic? You may have come in like this. Tremendous power is available to you. You can leave this place in a moment of God's presence, just like that man. Thank you, Jesus. Just like that man, after all those years, was able to leave like this, where roots can go strong and you can be immovable. God is that power. Tremendous power is available to you. Don't hold on to those offenses because you feel like it's too much, that you feel like this. Don't hold on to those things another day because you feel like, wow, I've gone too many years. There's no hope for me. Yes, there is. Tremendous power is available to you. You can have roots that grow down deep. Now, you're going to have to pay attention because even when you take all the stones out of a garden, if you've ever done a garden, we did a front yard one time. We picked stones to plant grass seed. Next day, there were stones all over again. We had to go out and pick stones. We swore they were growing. We were growing a rock garden. We must maintain and continue because it is one thing that's not ever going to go away. The enemy is on the job 24/7. And as long as we allow that in, he will be there planting seeds of offense that we will harvest. And that is not our intention. It's not because you're here. I know it's not your desire and it's not your intention. You're here in this place. And God's power is tremendously working right now in your life to get rid of all of those stones of offense that has been hindering your roots from growing down deep. Stand with me. Pastor, if you can play on the keyboards. I don't want anybody moving around. I know workers, you got to get in position, all that kind of stuff. Don't move around. Because this is for all of us. This is for me. This is God's message to me. I just want to take time right now. You can just bow your heads and close your eyes. This is you and Jesus. This is me and Jesus. And invite God in. In all those areas of offense that have kept us in stony ground, kept us from having roots that grow deep. Father God, right now, your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, right now to saturate each person. And I know as I was speaking this message, you had offenses come up that you thought of as I was sharing. And even right now, they're coming up. I want you to acquit. Just let it go. Nothing has to be done to deal with it. Just let it go. Just like Christ does, when you come to him, he lets it all go. And you're brand new. So whatever those things are right now, I want you to acquit and let it go. Forgive. And God's going to take those stones out and give you good ground. And you will have roots. Tremendous power is working right now. Tremendous power is working right now. Peace. Great peace. He is replacing that stony ground with great peace and nothing offending. Father God, right now we pray against the spirit of offense. We bind it up. We cancel its assignment. It's been running rampant too long in our lives. We cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. By the authority of the word of God, we cancel you, spirit of offense. You have no right and no place in the children of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm not making a call other than salvation, but right in your seats, because